proud sponsor of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is AARP Iowa. With over 370,000 members, AARP is helping families with a host of programs, from Fraud Watch to helping build more livable communities. Learn more at aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for clicking through again today. We are going to explore something together. And what we're about to explore is something called the 1,000 Friends of Iowa. And with me is Carrie Carney and Julie McGuire. Carrie happens to be the executive director of this organization, 1,000 Friends of Iowa. And we're going to be talking about the Best Development Awards and a bunch of other things. But first, let's lay the landscape and find out what the heck is 1,000 Friends of Iowa. Carrie, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So tell us about this. What do you guys do?
Well, 1,000 Friends of Iowa has been around for about 21 years. We are focused on responsible land use. We originally were started in 1998 by a group of residents who were really concerned about urban sprawl happening near Ankeny. A lot of farmland was getting eaten up and encroached upon, so people were really concerned about that and wanted to do something about it and figure out how to get Iowa to focus more on responsible land use rather than just growth at any cost.
And how successful has that been? Because I know that, you know, here in the greater Des Moines metropolitan area, I mean, land use is being swallowed up by the acre. I mean, in Waukee, I think they just let 200 acres go for the building of Apple and some other things, and that's prime farm ground that is no longer going to be producing food for the rest of America. Does those kinds of things worry you?
Absolutely, they worry us. You know, there has been a lot of growth, but we have had some impact. One of the things we're trying to do now, instead of just fighting against urban sprawl, we're really trying to focus on showing communities, businesses, and individuals a better way to do things.
Ah.
And we think with climate change, it's more urgent than ever because we know the solution to climate change really is responsible land use.
It is responsible land use and a number of other things, you know. And it is absolutely astounding to me that it takes a 16-year-old girl from Sweden to come to this country, stand before the United Nations and say, what the hell is the matter with you people? You are messing around with my future.
Right, right.
That was pretty stunning.
That was pretty stunning, yes.
All right, so responsible utilization of lots of different things in order to reduce our effect on climate change.
Correct.
All right. So, Julie, I'm going to turn to you for just a moment. You and I go back at least a decade, for crying out loud. It's been some time anyway, right?
It's been a long time.
Long time.
It's been a really long time.
Yeah, it has been. And you've got a lot of things going on.
And that's why I don't see you so much.
That's exactly right. You're the program director for this program. It's called the Best Development Awards. But what else do you do, Carrie? Julia. What else do you do? Let's just lay it all out there for folks, okay?
That's a great question. I like to say I'm a Jill of many skills.
Yeah, I guess.
So, I don't know. What do you want to ask me about?
You're a beekeeper?
Yep, I'm a beekeeper.
You make honey?
Well, the bees make honey.
Well, yeah, right, okay.
The bees make honey. I was doing that back before I met you.
Yeah?
We've had bees, I think, since 2000. Well, I've had bees since 2011, and my daughter got them in 2009.
Okay.
So
we got that
stuff going on.
That's been going
on for a while.
The bee thing.
Yep.
All right. What else?
Nothing.
What? Come on. I don't believe that for a minute.
Nothing at all.
Yeah, right. But you really have been for a long time, since I first met you in West Des Moines, talking about the West Des Moines school system and a very storied barn that was there that was in the way of a practice field, if I remember correctly, correct?
You are correct. So I would say my first introduction with land use came probably in 2007 with the passing of my grandparents and one of my uncles, and the family farm left our hands and went into the hands of developers. And I grew up in an antique store business with this family farm. The store was in our basement, and so that's where I kind of got the value of a barn. So I think my next step in being involved with land use was saving the barn. And then after that, I think staying in West Des Moines, it went into establishing a community garden, which now we started with 10 garden plots. We had 10 by 10 plots, and I want to say we're up to over 80 right now.
Yeah, in West Des Moines.
In West Des Moines. It's been awesome.
It has been
awesome.
I feel
so great. Just I can drive by it on the road, see it. It feels great.
And these community gardens are what? They're allowing people to garden and utilize the produce?
Yes. Yep. It's for self-production. And there's a definite community building aspect to that because our plots are right next to each other. It's not so organized that we have group work nights.
Right.
But there's still plenty of community building. We have a Facebook page for everyone who owns a plot if they want to join up in that. So it's very satisfying.
Again, sustainable use. And that's one of the really interesting things that's going on all across the United States is this resurgence of urban gardens. And it really is kind of amazing to see empty plots of land. I know in Detroit, my hometown, that's exactly what's going on, where they're bulldozing down these old buildings and then creating vegetable gardens and production facilities in the middle of Motown. It's pretty neat.
Right, it is neat. And then I guess I want to ask if you've ever been through the River Bend area.
Yes.
So I also sit on the board of a nonprofit that has 3 empty plots. There's no house there anymore, and so one of those is, actually 2 of them are garden plots that people from the neighborhood, New Americans, use. The other lot is a community orchard.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, there are times when I, in Urbandale, as a matter of fact, you know, you drive down Meredith Drive and you see this orchard that sits out there in the middle of this, what is now a sprawling community of Urbandale, and it's so cool to see that.
It used to be a dirt road.
Yeah, right. It used to be a dirt road. Now it's a 4-lane highway, for crying out loud, and right there off of the interstate. But yet, there's an orchard out there that still does, you know, they sell pumpkins and apples and all kinds of cool things. So, yeah, it can happen in almost any environment. And, by the way, the city of Des Moines or the metropolitan area is scheduled to reach 1 million people in the next 20 years or so, 15 to 20 years. It's pretty amazing. Okay, so we kind of got the lay of the land. 1,000 Friends of Iowa. We will, by the way, have links to all of this up on the radio blog so you can find this. But let's now talk about the Best Development Award so that people have an idea of what that's all about. What is it about, Julia?
The Best Development Awards is all about celebrating great sustainable building practices that occur in the state. So it could be something like...
Throughout the state of Iowa.
Throughout the state. It's not just the Des Moines Metro. So we have award winners from all four corners.
And this has been going on for 18 years. Yeah?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I think it is probably
pretty good.
Pat
ourselves on the back.
Yeah, yay team. All right, so there's a lot of different categories that you've got going on here. And so people, the award ceremony is going to be next year. How long do people have for nominations for these awards?
So nominations are open right now, and they close on the November 9th.
All right, so let's talk about the areas.
Sure, we've got 12 categories.
All right, go, tell us.
So we have new and renovated. So we have new residential, renovated residential, new commercial and renovated commercial, new civic and renovated civic buildings. We also have mixed use. We have stormwater management, innovative leadership, renewable energy, transportation and complete streets, and placemaking and green spaces.
Wow.
So it's 12 categories.
12 different categories. Now, let's break some of these down for just a moment so that people understand better what's going on. So I get it. New residential, new commercial, that is a sustainable opportunities for these building products. What would those entail, Carrie? What would a sustainable, what would a sustainable new building have?
Sure. So we have a criteria list that spells out what those criteria are, and some of it's just related to where it's built and how it's built.
Yeah.
So we much prefer it not be built out on farmland. So instead of being built on current green fields, we would rather see it built on brown fields or inside the city limits or community limits. We'd like to see the materials they use be sustainable green materials. We'd like to see community involvement, especially if it's a civic project. And we like to see them incorporate smart growth practices and energy efficiency and other sustainability measures.
And that's in new buildings. And then when we talk about renovation, I would suspect, and let me just guess because I don't know, that would be taking an existing structure someplace that may or may not have fallen into disrepair and then creating a building, that's not only sustainable, but also usable. Would that be pretty accurate?
That would be correct. And we have some great examples. So we much would prefer to see buildings be reused rather than torn down and something else built, because we think that's pretty wasteful, and that creates a lot of potential environmental issues by doing that. So one example of a great renovated building is the Market One building in downtown Des Moines that now houses Modus. It was, about a 100-year-old building that they totally gutted, renovated, kept the structure of the building. They added a lot of energy efficiency measures. They added smart technologies so the temperature changes. It senses if there's somebody in the room and the time of day, so the lights automatically adjust, temperature adjust. It's solar-powered. Mm. Energy efficiency, they have a green roof. They used sustainable building materials in the building, so they've totally renovated it.
I could think of other places like this as well. You know, my bride and I, we are bicyclists, and so we follow these trails all over central Iowa. And in many of these towns, they have taken these dilapidated old buildings and repurposed them so that they are now commercial entities, and they're no longer fallen down. They're actually enlivened and usable.
Right, and a lot of those are past award winners.
Really?
And
yeah.
Those types of projects are a lot of what we're targeting. So we really want to see. So, for example, Fort Madison, Iowa, there was a school building that was slated to be torn down and closed. And a developer proposed to the city to take that school building and turn it into apartments. But they didn't just stop there by renovating it with apartments. It's 100% net zero.
What?
They've got solar panels that power the entire building. They put in energy efficiency measures. The renovation practices on the interior use sustainable materials. They had the support of the community, and they were all the apartments were completely filled before they actually even finished the project.
Is that right? You know, and I don't know if they won, I don't know if they applied, I don't know anything about it, but I had the most incredible experience a couple of years ago going to Grinnell, Iowa, and the Hotel Grinnell. Mm-hmm. That was an old school building built in the 20s, and it had been totally redone now into this fabulous hotel, and they've kept all of the internal stuff. It's really pretty cool. She's done a great job there. All right. So we also have things about renovated civic mixed-use stormwater. Now, that's something of real big interest to us, Julia, because many individuals live along some of these creek beds that are out there, and we have seen 100-year floods come on a 5-year basis all over the greater Des Moines metro area. So when we're talking about stormwater and water management, what kind of things are you looking for?
So this is a good time to talk about the categories all having their own criteria.
Okay.
So the criteria that we have for stormwater management is going to look different than the criteria that our jurors use for renewable energy.
Of course,
applicants.
Yep.
So things we look for in stormwater management include a lot of planning, and then whatever kind of stormwater diversion is incorporated. We also really look at the impact that the practices have on the community.
Right. So if I can kind of butt in here, maybe we're talking about watershed holding areas that can successfully leach the water back out after a certain amount of time rather than just running down concrete streets?
Yep, detention is definitely an issue that we look at. The winter we had last year used tree trenches.
So tree trenches.
So we would have in the right-of-way, instead of grass, a strip of grass growing between the sidewalk and the street, we would have tree trenches.
Oh, okay.
So that was a new innovative practice.
So this would be, okay.
And so that's a big impact on, this was downtown Algona. So this had a big impact on that neighborhood. So it wasn't just like a tiny, like, this is my house and I'm doing something cool, or this is my business and our parking lot doesn't flood. It was the whole neighborhood that was being affected.
And so so we could paint a picture of this. Rather than having a strip of grass with trees on it, we actually have an indentation into the earth that creates a trench, if you will. We put trees along there and becomes a holding area for stormwater.
Yes, you got it. Yeah. You got it.
Ding, ding.
That's exactly ding. It.
All right.
Yeah, you win.
Yeah. Give the man a cigar. All right. And so these awards, people can, all over the state of Iowa, go ahead and apply for. You mentioned something about a juried process, Julia. So you have individuals who are up to date on these techniques that are actually looking at these awards and then granting, right?
Yes, you got it. So we have jurors from the private sector, the public sector, and academia. They come in and we discuss all of the applicants. Before we come in to meet and discuss, they all take a poll. So we kind of surveyed and narrowed down the field and separate, you know, the higher scores from the lower scores. That just kind of makes things go faster. But we decide all of that, and from there determine who's going to be at the award ceremony. Everyone's welcome to come to the award ceremony, but
sure.
Who's getting the plaque?
Yeah, and once again, ladies and gentlemen, nominations are open right now, and they close on November 9th. So you've got some time to get these things in. Now, is there a timeline relative to the nominations themselves? I mean, could this be a project that was done this year, last year, 5 years ago, whatever might happen with that?
So we generally like to see the projects completed, or at least the phase they're nominating for completed. Generally, we're looking at in the last few years.
Okay.
You know, something that was 20 years ago, we probably wouldn't consider for
right.
an award this year, but we'd be looking at the last couple of years that the project was completed.
Excellent stuff. And we will circulate this far and wide so that more people know about this. And, Julie, I'm so grateful that you and I reconnected a bit so that we could have this conversation. Once again, it is called the Best Development Awards. It is presented by 1,000 Friends of Iowa, and it's the 18th annual. And, again, we will have links up on our radio blog so that you can go directly to 1,000 Friends of Iowa. Carrie, thanks so very much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Julia, good to see you again.
It was a pleasure.
Once again, that was Carrie Carney and Julia McGuire from 1,000 Friends of Iowa. We will have links to 1,000 Friends of Iowa and the Best Development Awards up on our radio blog. Well, that about wraps it up for another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted exclusively for us by James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, and for Carrie and Julia, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.